Praise God for His goodness. Amen. How good He really is. If you'll stand, please. Second Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege we have to open the Word of God and to read these scriptures. And Father, seal them to our hearts that we may realize the truth of what you're saying in this. And Father, thinking of this refreshing, I pray in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the all the testimonies that have been given, and that Sister McIntosh just said, what a joy to our hearts. Then as others gave their testimony, how it blessed us to know God answered prayer in their life. God saved Brother Brotherton and answered Levi's prayer. And Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are a prayer answering God. And here on this Wednesday night, we prayed around the altar. We've asked you, God, for these people. And many of them unsaved or out of the will of God, we pray for them. And Father, many names were called tonight. And I ask in Jesus' name you'd help convict and draw and save. And even tonight, Lord, those that know not the Lord Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit would bring conviction and draw them. And Father, those that are sick and you touch and heal according to your will and for your glory, help those. And I'm thinking of those having surgery tomorrow, you'd help them. And then the bereaved Brother Hall and condition he's in, I pray, God, you'd help him in a special way. Minister to his heart and that family, and we'll give you the glory and the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to verse number 16. And as Paul talked about this one that he mentioned and by name, and you don't find that name otherwise, but here he mentions he that he oft refreshed me. He oft refreshed me. And I just want to bring a brief message on this subject, a refreshing Christian, a refreshing Christian. I know sometimes that in my life that instead of being a refreshing Christian, I allow things to weigh me down and become less than a refreshing Christian. A refreshing Christian is one that helps others when you're around them to make you feel better. Miss McIntosh, as she just shared, and I can't help but get back to her Sunday night, when she began to shout, things was already, God was moving, it was wonderful, and I praise God, thank Him for it, but there's just something special about that. God just refreshed my heart, and knowing her and how she loves God, and knowing that it was real and that God had done something in her life that blessed her, and that blessing rolled off of her onto me. And I said, hallelujah, I liked it. Amen. I like to see you get blessed because it helps me to see you get blessed. My blesser gets blessed. Amen. And I say, hallelujah. It's just good to be blessed of God. And then it's good to be a blessing in your life to others, that they too may know the blessings of the Lord. And I just been thinking on this, and I pray God to help us. Paul was in prison, and in fact, he's waiting probably execution at this time. And he wrote this letter back to Timothy, encouragement unto him and challenging him. And here he mentions this one that has been such a blessing to his life. And notice what he said in verse number 46. For he hath oft refreshed me. He hath oft refreshed me. And so I want to take these three verses, give you three things kind of quickly tonight, but if God will let us be that way. But I want us to get it. I want God to make it real to your heart. And when we leave out of here tonight, that we'll think about being a refreshing Christian. Our world needs some today. We need some today that'll be refreshing. Amen. I realize there's a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things to be complaining. There's a lot of things that we see in society that mess us up. And the devil is on the attack on every hand. But I'm glad, thank God, they still got on the throne. And he still rules and reigns. And he's our help. And he's our encouragement. And I praise God for it. You remember what the Bible said about David? At Ziklag, when the city had been burned, they'd lost everything they had. Wives and children had been taken, and they come back out of the battle. And they sat down and they wept. And then they said, they talked about stoning David. And the men did. And the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. He didn't look at somebody else to encourage him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and then God will help us to encourage somebody else in the Lord. And that's the way that we ought to be, open to God to help us. But even when those around us are not refreshing, we ought to get with God and say, God, I need refresh so I can help somebody else. We need some fresh oil. Amen. We need some God to move and God to stir, and thank God for the reality of all of that. But here we find, number one, that he's unashamed in his life. This man was unashamed. Notice what Paul said in verse 16, the very last part of that verse, and was not ashamed of my chain. He was not ashamed to identify himself with one that served God. He was not ashamed to be identified with Paul, who had a chain on him, chained up in a prison, Roman prison. But he wasn't ashamed to seek him out and find him and minister to his needs. He wasn't ashamed of him. And he identified himself also with Christ Jesus, because Paul was there because he preached Jesus and stood for the truth and the right and the only way to heaven. And so he was there because of that. And here's one that was not ashamed of that. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:16. And I say to you tonight, we ought not be ashamed of the gospel. But sometimes we get tired of the gospel and we don't admit it. You get tired of hearing the old story. Well, preacher, I've heard this. Sometimes we unconsciously tune it out and don't mean to. When the preacher's preaching on Calvary or preaching about the blood or preaching about Jesus and salvation there. And we'll kind of say, well, we know all this. We've heard all it. But I tell you, that old story ought to never grow old to us. Jesus loved us enough to go to Calvary and die for our sin, pay our price. I say, thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I'm glad somebody told me one day the story about Jesus. I'm glad I heard he came this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad I heard about the blood that could take away my sin. I'm glad I heard that Jesus would take sinners and revive and save them and make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I heard that I could have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, thank God, I'm glad I heard. I'm glad somebody told me that story. Hey, I didn't know. I was looking for life. I'd been raised in church and heard the gospel, but until the Holy Ghost made it real to me and I got saved, I didn't realize. I kept looking for life. I wanted to find what life was about, and I kept trying to get satisfied somewhere, and married, had children, tried this job, that job. I tried to work here and tried to succeed in this and that and the other, and I never was satisfied. But one day Jesus came by. Amen. And he touched my heart in power, saved me by his marvelous grace, birthed me in the family of God, and I did not find life, but life found me. And when life found me, I began to live. I just began to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Brother McIntosh, hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, many years ago you began to live and found Jesus Christ as he found you. He finds us, but then, praise God, we find out the benefits of it. Amen. How good it is to be saved, born in the family of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. Those around us today will argue about that. There's not but one way to heaven. That's Jesus. 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 Somebody today, somewhere along the way, had wished me a happy holiday. I said, Merry Christmas. Amen. Merry Christmas. And holidays, it's holidays, I guess, and the way man looks at it, that's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about C-H-R-I-S-T. Christmas. Amen. I'm thinking about Christ, Jesus, the Lord and Savior that saved me by his marvelous grace. And don't want to be ashamed of that gospel of Christ. How wonderful it is not to be ashamed of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed to tell it? And again, I remind you this time of year, what a wonderful time it is to tell people what it's really all about. An opportunity is open to you many times to tell somebody about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. These little calendars I mentioned to you a while ago, they're great to drop in Christmas cards or somebody's unsaved and dropping them in there. They got verses on the back of them. And what a blessing that is. Or a track out of the rack. We got some Christmas tracks. And we can be witnesses of the saving grace of God and see people come to know Jesus. Unashamed in his life. Let me say number two. He was unselfish in his love. Look at verse number 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Now he's unselfish. He very diligently sought Paul out. Now, if you look in verse number 18, it talks about how he ministered unto me at Ephesus. This man's home must have been in Ephesus. And Ephesus is a long way away from Rome. And so he had to make that journey. Now, did he make that journey just particularly to see Paul? I don't know. The Bible does not say. We speculate on that. But if he made it just to see Paul, he certainly went to a whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of expense to get there to do so. If he went on a business trip or some other reason he was there, he still took time out to hunt Paul up, find him, and minister unto him. He was unselfish in his time. If we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in ourselves that we get selfish about it and don't have time to be a blessing to somebody else and to help them. Amen. Amen, preacher, that's good. And we need this unselfish love. Here he is, and he's seeking him out. If you look in verse 16, he said he hath oft refreshed me. It wasn't just something that he did that one time. And left said he oft did that. He knew Paul was a man of God. He knew Paul was doing something for the Lord. He knew Paul was being used of God. And he may not be well known to us, but this man wanted to be a blessing to the man of God. He wanted to help somebody. He was unselfish. He wanted to, whatever he had to give, he gave. Whatever he could do, he did. And I tell you tonight, and we think about missions as just giving of money, but missions is more than giving in money. A lot of times missionaries need prayer. A lot of times, Sister Springer just mentioned to us about this co-worker of hers. And it's not so much money right now. She needs prayer. She needs God's help and grace. And if God doesn't intervene, she looks like she's going to go on from this world to heaven. That's not a bad thing, but the family and all needs prayer and needs help. And Sister Springer is working, trying to help her and trying to find out what she needs to do. And I don't know how old Miss Springer is. How old is she? 65 or so. And she herself needs prayer. She needs strength. She needs help. And I say to you that we can pray for her. We can lift her in prayer. We can take her prayer requests seriously. And these folk that I mentioned, Brother A.D. Hall, he is up in years, and he's going through this tonight with his sister. He needs our prayers. Family needs our prayer, and we need to pray for them. These folk, you'll meet this along every day, not just during Christmas time and New Year's, not just during the time that we think about now, but every day of the year, somebody, somewhere, somebody may need some help, and you can be that refreshing Christian because of unselfish love and not being selfish. Sometimes, I preached Sunday, I was talking about that Good Samaritan and talking about type of the Lord Jesus, but I said these three principles of life shown in that story. And three principles are this: what's mine is what's yours is mine if I can get it. A lot of people's got that attitude. And then another principle of life a lot of people's got: what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. And what's mine is yours if you need it. Now that's the third attitude. And we don't like that third one because the other principle works better for us. You know, what's mine's mine and I'm going to keep it. But you know what? I found out a long time ago. The more I give, the better God blesses. Amen. Same true of a church. Same true of an individual. You cannot outdo God. God will not allow that. God so many times has intervened in my life, so many times has done things that are inexplainable by man, but I serve a great God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. So I ought not to be selfish. God's been so good to me. If God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and we ought not love enough to give back to him. He not only wants to give in our substance, but give of our lives. God wants our lives as a living sacrifice unto God. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'd die for the Lord." That's good. I'm glad you're willing to die for him. But how about living for him? How about living for him? God wants you a living sacrifice that will do something for God in these days. And you can be a testimony on the job, in school. You can be a testimony to the neighbors, you can in the family, whatever, wherever. Thank God for the privilege to serve the Lord. I just want to take time out and say hallelujah for a privilege to serve God. Amen. I'm glad God gives me an opportunity to serve the Lord day by day, aren't you? Aren't you glad that God lets you serve the Lord? Hear from heaven, let God do something for you. I'm glad for that. Praise God for it. Let me give you the third thing quickly. Here's an unmovable in his stand for the Lord. Look in verse 18. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. Now, Paul's not saying that he's afraid he's going to lose it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I believe this man's got the goods. I believe this man loves God. I believe he's real, genuine. In the day of the Lord, he'll find mercy. In the day of the Lord, he's going to be rewarded. In that day, it's going to be sure for him. And you can rest assured that you can't give a cup of cold water without being blessed of God. You cannot. If you do it in the name of the Lord, do it because you love Jesus, God will bless you for that. Brother Mark, sometime tonight, put this cup of water in this pulpit. God took note of that in heaven. God took note of that. Every time that you speak a word, give a tract, every time that you, somebody that's suffering, somebody that needs some help, and you take time just to speak to them, they may just need a word of encouragement. Somebody that's just down having a hard time. Sister McIntosh talking about that cloud over and having a tough time. Every one of us from time to time have tough times. If you never had a tough time, you've been saved any length of time, I want to talk to you. I'd like to know what it is that keeps you from having a tough time. Because I think every one of us, be honest about it, has some tough times. Sometimes you got a tough time and don't even know what your tough time is tough time about. I've been there. I know what I'm saying. I sometimes get on a burden and feel depressed and don't even know what's about. Maybe a combination of a bunch of things. But we all go through but thank God, there's one that can help us. Amen. And you can be unmoved. Job didn't quit when the trouble came. And Ephesians says, have you done everything to stand? Stand. Haven't done all to stand? Stand. Just keep on. Be unmovable for the glory of God. Not unmovable to serve him, but unmovable in your stand, unmovable in your belief, unmovable. In this day and time, I see on every hand people falling by the wayside, people going off on some false religion somewhere, trying some new thing, but all just stick by the old stuff and love God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking. Myself and God. What I'm trying to say tonight is let's be refreshing Christians. Refreshing to others. Encouragement and strength that they can draw from when they're around you. They can sense that God is working in your life and that they can draw from strength from that. tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking, please, but myself and God. And I realize tonight that God knows your heart. God knows your life. I'm not going to come to anyone. I'm not going to make any kind of a scene or try to put you on the spot. But I want you to think very seriously about your life. Is your life where it needs to be with God? Are you really where you need to be with the Lord? First of all, are you saved? Do you really know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you really know Him? Then secondly, if you do know Him, are you really a refreshing Christian? Can you help others come to know Christ? Can you be around people and them know that you love God and that you're an encouragement to others when they're down? You can help them. Is your life lived like that? How are you tonight in your particular situation right now? How are you? Think about it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One precious soul already stepped out and came to the altar to pray. But somebody else, God's speaking to your heart. You'd like to slip your hand up and just say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I realize in my life I need something from God. I need God to help me." God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else quickly? Anybody else, slip your hand up. God bless you. I saw that hand. Anybody else quickly? God bless your heart. I see that hand. Anybody else real quickly? Just slip it up, take it back down. I know what you mean. There's some precious young folk coming to pray. God's speaking to your heart and you need something. Father, thank you tonight for what you're doing. Thank you for every life you're touching. Thank you tonight, God, that in thy word you said that we could be refreshing Christians. And this one that came and refreshed Paul often. And Father, he loved you and was faithful and unmovable and had that compassionate heart. And Father, unselfish love. Thank you, Lord, that he's unashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I pray tonight you'd help all of us as we look at ourselves and think about ourselves that we'll do what you want us to do. Folk that raised their hands, I pray for. I ask you, God, to help them. I ask in Jesus' name the Holy Spirit do a work in their hearts. And thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.